speak.studio.
Hi, I'm Abby, and this is We Have Notes, a podcast for the pop culture obsessed and the people who love them. I'm finally back. I know, it's been like a month. I'm sorry. But I'm here now, so I hope that's good news. I am very glad to be back doing the show. I am in a much better mood than I was in November and December, which had nothing to do with this podcast, but just life. So that feels good. I hope you made it through, you know, the holidays and all that stuff and feel like back to your life. For some people, that's a very happy time. For some people, it is very much not. So I get it either way. But I am back doing the show. We'll be back pretty regularly as planned. I have a bunch of fun interviews and chats lined up. So I'm so excited about that. Also a little bit of biz, as you may know or not, if you're new, welcome, first of all. And secondly, this podcast is a spinoff of a newsletter that I do of the same name. We Have Notes that initially started on Tiny Letter, like in 2018, and is now a Substack. And the Friday newsletter comes out each week and is just like all sorts of pop culture stuff that I'm into and I hope you're into, and kind of a rundown of what's going on and analysis and shows and recaps and all sorts of fun stuff. And recently added the option for paid subscriptions. So thank you to all of you who have already signed up. That's amazing. I like still can't even believe anyone wants to listen to me or read anything still to this day. So you can go to wehavenotes.substack.com. There's a post that is called A New Era of We Have Notes that has a lot of details in there about paid subs. But the long and the short of it is you get more content if you're a paid subscriber. So you'll get extra posts, access to the full archive, some threads and things that'll be just for subscribers only, and more fun stuff like to be named later. As the community grows, which I hope it will. I love it so much already. It's $5 a month or $50 for the year. And the Friday newsletter will stay free. So this will be like additional content. And there's also an option to join the inner circle, which gets you all the paid stuff and more. Honestly, I described it as like, those are like, you're like camping out for Bearcane at the Harry show, and I appreciate you so much. Or any show, whoever you love, the 1975 show, Taylor show, whatever. So thank you to those that joined the inner circle too. That means so much that anyone supports my work with their hard-earned money. So, and honestly, inner circle, like if you want me to just do a straight up your own individual customized post, like I would do it. It would be fun for me, actually. So check that out and subscribe to the free newsletter if you want to just check out what it's about. It's so much fun. It's a great, I hope it's a fun read. I've been told it's a fun read on Fridays. So thank you again to anyone who's already subscribed for free or for paid. Either way, I adore you. Let's see. Before we get, I have a great guest today. I'm super excited to have her back. She's a return guest. But before we get there, I wanted to go over a couple of things that I've been watching. First is, like, this just premiered on Sunday, the new big HBO show, The Last of Us. Again, there will not be any spoilers here. So, for this or the next show I'm going to talk about. But so this is based off a video game that I had frankly never heard of, because I don't game and I know very, very little of that world. Other than that, I know it's a huge world, a huge community, a whole thing that I don't understand. But I now know that this game is insanely popular and like quite critically acclaimed. This is like a zombie apocalypse, you know, pandemic. There's like a basically, like, there's a fungal outbreak. So you kind of, the way the show, the premiere starts, and it was a really, I thought it was excellent. You start in, like, 1968, and you have scientists like on this like British chat show, like talking about how a fungal pandemic might happen. And the person talking about it is John Hannah, who I often refer to as Gwyneth's love interest from Sliding Doors. He's like a doctor in this scene. And fuck, he looks old. I mean, I looked it up. He's like 60, but I don't know. I just like, I feel like that's my brain also being like, oh yeah, well, you are also old, Abby. But not as old as that, but still. Anyway, that was there. And then you kind of go to 2003 and in Austin, Texas, and Pedro Pascal, Oberyn Martell, you know, from Game of Thrones. And I know he's like been in Narcos and The Mandalorian, but I don't watch those shows. And Nico Parker, who you will immediately recognize as Tandaway Newton's daughter, because she has her mother's whole entire face. She's also excellent. Excellent. So there, Joel and Sarah Miller, like a father and daughter. And like, you know, it's like the beginning where like things are normal, but like something's off. And then like the shit hits the fan. And then later in the show, you go forward like 20 years to Boston. So where you will then also meet Lady Lyanna Mormont, one of the great characters of Game of Thrones, but played by Bella Ramsey, who is an integral part of this series. So anyway, and you'll see kind of what has become of society and whatever, and then we're on our way for this show. There's a great needle drop of Never Let Me Down by Depeche Mode. Never Let Me Down Again by Depeche Mode. It's just, I really enjoyed the pilot. It's a Sunday night HBO show. Feel like we're going to be talking about it. It feels like we'll have this, and then we'll be getting pretty close to like Yellow Jackets time, which is very exciting. Like March is going to be a good time. We're going to get Yellow Jackets. We're going to get Daisy Jones and the Six, which I'm so excited about. And I just every time I think of Riley Keough, my heart is breaking because of the sudden death of her mom, Lisa Marie Presley. But anyway, we've got there's a lot of good stuff happening in like kind of what I'd say like high end, big discussion worthy television. Now, this is like, you know, big budget, scripted, blah, blah, blah. On the other end, I am absolutely become obsessed with The Traitors on Peacock. It's so much fun. This is a reality show that it's a take on a British show, of course. And it's set up as the American version is like there's a group of people. They're all at the Scottish castle where Alan Cumming is the host, and he is chewing up the scenery in kilts and other various chic garb. He's hilarious. Like, he is over the top. Like, he must be having so much fun. So he's the host, and this group of people is their goal, they're broken up into there's traitors and faithfuls, but you don't know who is who. And the traitors get to pick like a person to quote unquote murder each night. And then the whole group, the traitors are in the group too. Like, we know who they are, but the contestants don't know who they are. And they're trying to like vote. They get to banish someone, and you're trying to get rid of the traitors actually. And so if like whoever's left at the end, like they get to split this pot of money, and it's very fun. And they do these challenges, you know, it's what is a reality show without challenges? Now, in the UK version, which I have heard is even better, none of these people are famous. They're all just like regular folk competing. In the American version, it's half normies and half reality show people, many of whom you will be familiar with. So it's you got Brandi Glanville from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Ceree from Survivor, who's one of my favorite Survivor contestants ever. Kyle from Summer House, the glorious Kate Chastain from Below Deck. Now, I don't watch Below Deck anymore, which for kind of no particular reason, but I was very into it in the early seasons. And Kate is, you know, a star. She's a star on this show. You've got Ari Lyndike Jr. of The Bachelor and Bachelorette fame. I never watched his seasons. I was already, I think, done with The Bachelor by then. But I am from Indianapolis, so I know the Lyndike family. I mean, not personally, but I mean, I know people who do. But like, I don't have to look up how to spell Lyndike because I'm from Indianapolis. And whether you like it or not, you will learn the name of IndyCar drivers and their sons. In case you didn't know, that's Ari is a race car Nepo baby. Some people from Big Brother. I've never been a Big Brother person. Cody and Rachel. There's Stephanie from Survivor. Ryan Lochte. Dumb Dumb Olympian Ryan Lochte. Reza from Shaws of Sunset, some woman, Geraldine, that I had no idea who she was. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting because, like, if you know anything about those people, you're going to go in with, like, some sort of mindset about them. They're also, like, better at reality shit, especially some of them. Like, think if you've played Survivor, like, you've outwitted, outlasted, outplayed. You have to lie to people, you know, like you're going to have to lie to people, alliances, da da da, all those things. Anyway, it's 10 episodes. I'm on episode 9 right now. I love this fucking show. It's so fun. People are saying that it's like much more fun when everyone's not famous, but this is what I've watched so far and it's very enjoyable. I will say, like, so Peacock dumped all 10 eps at once. This should have been a week to week situation. Or at least like two eps at a time, because the discourse would have been really fun. Like the online conversations, blah, blah, blah. So that's my one note on that. But it's a blast. I would recommend if you need something, you know, not that deep to watch. But it's interesting to think about how you might play it if you were a faithful or if you're a traitor. Or like sometimes people are like convinced you're a traitor, but you're like, I'm fucking not. I'm a So I think as a Scorpio, I would fucking crush this game. Like, I read people really well. I read the room well, and I can hold some fucking secrets. And I'm pretty good at passing off untruths as true beliefs. But anyway, that's a wreck. I also am finally reading books again. This is exciting. This is like when you come out of like low grade depression and you're like ready to read again. That's how I am anyway. I'm making my way through Spare, not to worry. Get into that a little bit today with my guest, but more to come on that. And then also I wanted to recommend, I'm sure a lot of people read this. It was a very popular book, but I had not read it. Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukovka. Whew, just riveting. I read it in less than 24 hours. It's fiction. It's a story around a man named Ansel Packer who's on death row. He's been convicted of murdering multiple women. Like, he's legit, like, very close to the said execution of the title. But the story unfolds not only through his perspective, but three different women connected to him across different timelines. That's all I'll say. I could not put it down. Absolute page turner, but like very literary, very upsetting at times, kind of a gut punch, but really just a beautiful book. So those are my recs, and we'll be right back with my guest, who I'm very excited to talk to about a number of things. This week's guest, Amber Katz, is back for a second time on the show. And honestly, I apologize for taking this long to book her again because she's just the best. If you want to check out our first app together, it's back in September 2021. It's episode 23 of this show, aptly titled Wawa Baby Wawa. It's super fun. We talk about some shows and Wawa, because she's a Philly native and you can't talk about anything Philly without talking about Wawa, which I, of course, find a way to tie to Harry Styles, which is where that that title came from. But anyway, it's a super fun app. Also, the back catalog, it's fun to listen to. Not all of it's super dated. So anyway, if you're new, that's always something to listen to. Anyway, Amber and I met back in my digital media era, and she is one of the early beauty bloggers, and she's also written for tons of places like Refinery 29 and Teen Vogue and Nylon and InStyle and so many more. She's a content creator and a brand strategist of the highest order, and she has a really awesome Substack herself called Things I Buy as a Civilian that I really, really recommend. Amber also has a fabulous pop culture brain, and I love talking to her about shows and books and movies and whatnot, all the things. So today we're going to get into the Netflix hit show Jenny and Georgia's extremely wild second season, that Netflix Bernie Madoff doc, a little bit of Spare, as I mentioned, and a lot more. So without further ado, my chat with my wonderful friend Amber Katz. Welcome back, Amber. Hi. I'm so glad you're here. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me back. This was like the highlight of whenever we did it before, and I'm trying to think. I think it was like end of 2021, maybe?
I think it was.
Does that sound right?
That's crazy, but I think that's right. That's wild. Of course, you're the best. Well, I feel like we DM a lot about like various things and shows and whatnot, and you have your great newsletter, which we can talk about later. But one particular show that just came back for its second season that we both watch is Jenny and Georgia on Netflix. How do you just, like, first of all, do you know a lot of other people who watch the show, or like, are you?
You know what? I'm trying to think. The only person I've talked about it with at all, and it was just sort of like on a high level, was Andrea Laventhal.
Yes.
She,
of course she does.
Of course. And she like interviewed the costume designer all about it. And actually, I need to read the article. I saw the article.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have to read that too.
But you know, and I've talked to my boyfriend about it because I was like furiously like studying for this episode. I was like, I have to catch up on season two. So he watched a few episodes with me, but that is it. Like, I don't think I know, you know, of all the like fandom things that I know we both have, and there's certainly a Venn diagram. There's not a lot of Jenny and Georgia people, or maybe I just haven't been talking about it enough on Instagram for people to know, but it's surprisingly few.
It's not like a mass, like other, like a critical mass, I feel like I have with other shows, but how do you describe Jenny and Georgia to people? And then we can get into kind of more nitty gritty.
I feel like it's everything. And I saw an article on Vulture about last season, and they described it as like Guy Fieri's trash can nachos. And I was like, that is the most accurate thing I've ever heard, because it's like, obviously it's Gilmore Girls.
Right. It's mom and a daughter who, like, the mom had her as a 15-year-old.
At 15.
And now the daughter's a teenager, so the mom is quite young.
They have that like charming New England town aspect to it. Yeah. So there's definitely that. They're both very cute.
Yeah.
Then there's also like a Dexter aspect to it. There's like a serial killer element, which is so weird. And then it's also My So-Called Life. Like, it's very much, it's a coming of age show, but that's not the main event. And that kind of annoys me about the show.
Yes. Okay.
Do you feel that way too? Let's discuss.
Absolutely. Okay. So basically, for anyone who hasn't watched, like, Jenny is the daughter and Georgia is the mom. And she's like, I mean, heavy Southern accent to a point of caricature.
Heart of Dixie elements.
Yeah.
In
like
it
Heart
too.
Of Dixie. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, even with QB, I mean, like Jason Street, Scott Porter.
So glad you call him that, because I call him Jason Street all the time. Oh. I'm like clapping for him. I'm like, yes, go Jason Street. And I'm like,
look at Jason Street. His life worked out. Like, you know, and so he ends up on these shows. Like,
At first I didn't recognize him. I was like, where do I know him? And then I was like, oh my God, it's Jason Street.
He's like thicker than he used to be.
Yeah. He looks good though.
He looks good. Yeah. He looks good. So he's like the mayor of this town, and they basically have moved around a ton. Like, Georgia is, the mom is like a hustler. Like, even when you don't know all the things she's done, she's scrappy. She's had to like find ways to get by. You know, she had Jenny at 15. With her then boyfriend, the dad, who's like in the picture, Jenny is biracial. Like, then she has a son from a different guy. So there's like a little brother. And so they've ended up like in this quaint, quirky, you know, New England town. And she's like, you know, not super accepted right away. The mom, even, you know, Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, she's, because she's like a lot. She's like,
yeah, she's a single mom. She's very scrappy. I don't think she went to college.
She's like,
yeah, she's in this Massachusetts town.
Yeah. She doesn't look New England at all.
No.
So
it's there are also elements, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
Mermaids. Are you feeling mermaids? Because they also moved to Massachusetts.
I hadn't thought of it, but that's perfect.
It just came to me now, but duh. Like, it's definitely, you can just heavily see the inspiration of 97 things in this show. And it's
this show is 500,000 things.
Yes.
Like, so what really, and I don't like you. If you've watched it, you'll know this. But like, it tonally shifts like every 5 seconds.
Yes, yes.
It's like really weird, quirky, like almost slapsticky, like stuff. And then it's like heavy, heavy, serious stuff, which we can talk about because I think it's actually what they do best is the My So-Called Life part of it. But then it's also like a crime drama.
It's very weird. So, like, it's a very special episode of Blossom, but it has this very kicky, upbeat music also a lot of the time. And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, you know, there are, like, flashbacks to, murders.
Murders!
And, like, everyone's just cool with that. It's so bizarre. And they're not, like, particularly gory, but also, like, murders. But like actual murders.
Straight up murders. And this guy is kind of, like, this PI is, like, looking for Georgia because of these murders, and like she's like a Black Widow kind of like
that's an accurate depiction.
She's got some exes who have been disappeared or died under uncertain circumstances.
But all the while there's like a Jordan Catalano budding romance going on with the daughter.
She's like trying to fit in. She's moved around so much. So she's finally like kind of making a group of friends in this town, right? Like,
yeah.
And there's like this group of girls that she starts to become friends with. And then one of them, like her bestie, basically her brother is like the Jordan Catalano.
Yeah. So the Jordan Max. Catalano. Yes. We'll get back to him.
But Max, her bestie.
Is she on amphetamines? That's my number one question to you. She was so annoying this season. I wanted to rip my own hair out.
So when this show first came on, I just feel like it wasn't as insane the first season.
It wasn't.
It was much more grounded. Like all of the storylines were more
grounded. She's at a 12 now.
She's so obnoxious.
She's really annoying.
I really think I liked her. And that's why when I was first watching, you had posted you were about to watch, and I'm like, I'm a few episodes in and I don't know if I hate it. And I was like, I don't know if our mindset was so different when it first came out, because it's like been a couple years.
Too. I definitely liked the first season. Was it a couple years? I couldn't remember when came out. That sounds right. I don't like the season anywhere near as much. I'll say that.
Same. But I mean, I watched every episode. I liked it.
Obviously. Yeah, of course. I would never abandon this show, but I liked it a lot more before. But I guess it was still like, platter.
February 2021.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess it was, it was almost 2 years ago. That's so weird. So strange.
So we were like pre-vax.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I was made of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very different time.
Max
is really irritating this year. Like I understand what it's like to be like a girl in high school and like she just got her heart broken by her ex-girlfriend. And that is very difficult when you're in high school.
It is.
But even so, like, it's very clear she's, a theater kid, which is its own thing. And I'm guessing she's a Leo. I'm very into astrology. She has a lot of Leo energy.
Totally feels like a Leo. Oh my God.
She's 100% a Leo. So like, that's a lot. But even with all of that, she's still at a 12 out of 10.
All the time this season. And like, she gets really mad about Jenny hooking up with her brother in a way that, like, again, yes, that is a that would cause a problem in teenage friendship, right?
And they're twins, like Brenda and Brandon from 90210, we forgot to say, because it's also 90210, because there's not enough things here. Not enough things.
It's like Criminal Minds, Dexter, CSI, My So-Called Life, 90210, Gilmore Girls, Heart of Dixie.
Like, that's the rundown. There might be other things.
There's probably more. There's probably
mermaids.
More. Mermaids, right. So, and like, she gets so aggro mad, but then the resolution is too quick for how mad and she's so amped up all the time. And she's almost like screaming all the time.
She's always screaming. She's always screaming. She's really loud. And she also, I don't remember her being that thin before. Like she looks like she's on like a lot of amphetamines. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's intentional or what. I don't remember her being that skinny. And also it's Mean Girls because she takes her group of friends and like the Gretchen and the Karen are no longer allowed to talk to Ginny either.
Yes.
When she decides that she's done with her until they make up and then everything's fine.
But, and one of them is named Abigail.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And then I mean, I get that those things happen, but somehow with the, I don't know, it just felt very amplified and just kind of unnecessary and extreme.
It felt so insane and extreme. Like so many times when I was watching it, I was like, it was like whiplash too. Cause you're like, okay, so the boyfriend who, by the way, played, we were just talking of course we were before we started recording about Harry Styles.
Yes.
I don't know if you know, but Harry Styles' like one flop was this short-lived television show that he produced with Ben Winston that was sort of based on.
I did not know any of this.
Ben Winston he produces like Corden's show. His production company does like the new Kardashian show.
Oh, wow.
Dates back to like One Direction. He's a Brit living in LA, whatever.
Okay.
Harry was very close with him and his wife. Still and lived in their house for like a while, even like when he was like in One Direction. And like when he was famous, like after he was famous. So they made this sitcom, this like flop sitcom about like a pop star who like lives with a family.
Oh,
and that guy played the like Harry Styles stand-in.
Get out. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. Cause you know what's funny? I mean, I knew we were going to discuss this, but I was like, that guy really has Harry Styles energy. So that's very interesting.
Isn't
that it was
funny?
That actor.
It's like, it lasted like five of six episodes. It's
so
like,
funny. I feel like he was so well cast. I feel like you can't get better than that guy. He's certainly
he's hot. He's super cute.
So hot.
And he's so broody. I'm like, oh yeah, that's his teenage.
Perfect.
I mean, he's like,
oh yeah.
Like Jenny's great. Like he's great. Like, okay, so like, but his arc like took such a sharp turn.
Okay, this season was dark. Like, let's just start there. Like,
okay,
there's a lot.
So
okay,
dark.
There's burning. There's
self-harm.
There's his very serious depression that he has to be medicated for. It's a real, you know, situation with him. And the neighbor with the father in the coma.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing. I mean, this season was very, very dark. Like, very dark for, like, I'm a coming-of-age teenage girl show, which
and it's, like,
it
colorful
cosplays
and poppy. Yeah.
Yes. And then, like, the fun Entertainment Tonight music. And then you're just like, did we just see someone get smothered by a pillow or am I insane?
It's so insane. It's so batshit. Because I think some of the stuff – and then it's almost like the scene will be – the darker scene will be done quite well. I think, like, some of, like – Jenny's conversations about opening up about her self-harm and like to her dad and like some
her
really
dad
emotion.
Is great.
Love him.
Love the dad. Love his family. Love the whole thing. Love his new girlfriend.
Love. He's
love. Big fan.
Big fan.
His apartment in Boston seems so chic. Why is it so cool?
It's so fantastic.
He lives
that
in
apartment.
Like a Crate and Barrel ad. It looks so great. It's like a loft.
It's like a loft.
By the way, I lived in Boston. I didn't see one place that looked like that.
I know.
Also,
I was
in college. I had like no money. So no one I knew like was living
like had
him,
like
I
a
guess.
Nice place.
Yeah.
But like he's awesome and like he's back in their lives in a, like a bigger way. And like he, you know, he takes in like her little brother. He's
so
part
nice.
Of the family too. Like
what
he's not
mensch.
His dad.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And then we have that guy's dad comes back and he's
oh yeah, we need to talk about him.
Gil. So like, but they'll do these like very almost like poignant scene and it'll be done really well. And I do think like the way they've tried to handle self-harm and talking about it and she's in therapy and she's, you know, I don't think it's badly done at all. It's just that then you just jag into like a corny bachelorette party and you're like,
what? It's like, give me a minute. It's really weird that every episode is a very special episode of Blossom, but also an episode of Gilmore Girls and like this kicky thing.
Yeah. Cause there's like, all these like pop culture references. It's like making like, but then it's like Georgia makes like a Dawson's Creek joke. And I'm like, okay, like I like that. I like that. But like,
I do wonder who the audience is.
Who's the audience, right? Like that's what's confusing, because it's like, is it a teen show? Because I watch tons of teen shows. I know. Same. It's not a teen show.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this is not a teen show. It's not like what's that show that I love that I watch like twice in rapid succession? The Summer I Turned Pretty. That's the antithesis of this, and it has, you know, just like, it's like 20% that, I would say.
Exactly. Cause it's like, I get it. You know, like, God, I love that show so much. Give me the second season.
Love that show.
Oh, Conrad.
I started watching that show and then I finished it. And then I just started watching it again from the beginning.
I watched it three times. By the way, that was a whole thing that was happening. I noticed it, and it was across generations. Like actual teens that I know were doing that. Millennials, Gen X, like everybody was doing it.
Well, I wonder if like, I think that Ginny, Georgia and Ginny was whatever, Ginny and Georgia is supposed to be that. I feel like they're trying to appeal to those two generations, like Gen X, millennial, clearly, and, you know, Gen Z, but it doesn't somehow. I feel like that, but The Summer I Turned Pretty, I think was, you know, targeting just Gen Z and it just wound up being appealing to
everyone. They did make the adults like people, you know, like they weren't like one dimensional.
That's
like
true.
The moms were actually people, but I do not think we were the target audience, and it came from a YA book, you know, like book series, but like, and I totally get that. I know it's like, I watch and read a lot of things that I'm not the target, necessarily the target for it. It's always like, that's great. You have your target. And then if other people like it, awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is like.
But this feels targeted to two separate, disparate things, I think. Or maybe even more than that.
Maybe even more. Like, because I also think some of the sex stuff I liked.
Let's talk about that.
Can we talk about? Okay, so.
There's a very graphic, I feel like, sexy. Not graphic, but just more sexy. I felt uncomfortable watching myself.
I was like a little, because I was like, is Benson and Stabler coming? I know I'm already probably on many lists. I'm, you know, like.
I felt the same way.
But what if I like took a step back from my, like, it was only discomfort because of how old I am and how old they are supposed to be.
Nearly the same age. Yeah.
Like an adult, a very grown adult. But what I did like.
Something was still too much about it. It was still too, like, you could tell.
Was it too graphic?
It was. Like, you could tell exactly what base people were at. You know what I mean?
But
like,
I thought that was good. So I
thought it was good. I thought it was good. I was clutching my pearls about it.
I thought it was good because I'm like, I want to see a girl telling a guy how to get her off. Like I
like that.
She was like slower, faster. Like his hand was down her pants, and I was like,
you could just like see the hand kind of moving. I don't know. It was just like a little too much detail, but I didn't mind that she was telling him. I thought
but
it was great.
I liked that part, and then he's like, and then when she's giving him a blowjob, like he's giving her some direction. And by the way, because you don't know how to do that until you know how to do that.
That's very true. That is very true.
And it was like, okay, you shouldn't. I liked that, like, you shouldn't be afraid. Like, they were consensual boyfriend, you know, and you don't have to be boyfriend, girlfriend, as long as you're consent, everyone's consenting. But, like, they were consensual. Like, they both felt safe, like, all that. And I was like, a girl shouldn't be afraid to tell anyone what she likes. So I liked
that. I'm with you on that.
But I did feel like, I was like, Am I allowed to be watching? I don't want anyone to think like I'm enjoying it for that.
No.
Like
no one thinks
that reason.
No, it was just it was just more than what you see in a typical teen show. Like there's making out in a teen show.
Yeah.
It was more detail than you usually.
But it's also because tonally that's not the show. Like this isn't Euphoria.
That's true. Yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
true.
It's
oh my
like,
God, I love
it's
Euphoria.
Like same. Like love it. But, like, you wouldn't be surprised if you saw that on Euphoria.
That's true. That's true. Again, trying to be too many things. That was a Euphoria element.
Yeah, because you're like, okay, again, I like the way it was handled, like, from a character standpoint. But, like, then you're just like, wait, are we this kind of show? Like, because it looks poppy like Gilmore Girls.
Like, it's even just like the color saturation and the like do 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 do. And then you're like, okay, I guess we're this, but okay, we're also, it was so confusing.
It was so confusing. Can we also talk about off topic, but not off topic, Joe's beard and what a thing of beauty it is? Why is it so great? That guy's very attractive.
I am very attracted to that man.
Oh, yeah. There was like a shirtless scene.
Oh, yeah. He got a little action this season, but he loves Georgia. But that was a weird interaction,
so
too.
Sad. Yeah.
So there's like this like unrequited like love story, because one time also she came through this town when she was younger and he gave her his sunglasses.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot about that whole side story.
It's like, again, but I also still recommend this show to people.
I know. I don't know why I read, but it's nothing I ever want to watch again. Like, I would never watch I will never rewatch it, which is a weird thing that I like it enough to continue with the next season, but I have zero interest in living through that again because the dark parts are so dark.
Yeah. So dark. And it's like, yeah, it's like, but every once in a while we'll throw in like a Gracie Abrams song that's like very sad. But then it's like, it's almost also like, almost at all times, Georgia feels like she's in a different show.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
She's so – and she – like even like the character development or non-development like this season, it's like really – like really? Why – like you really making all these – like it's like we get it. She's impulsive and she's had to be a survivor. And she is a survivor of like assault and – but
a
like
lot.
A lot of
flashbacks are interesting, but yeah, she doesn't, I don't know. There's like, there's not really a lot of like growth in her character arc. Obviously. No.
She's still making terrible decisions, putting her family at risk, even though she's in like a stable relationship with Mayor Jason Street, who loves her. And
I mean, even after family, let's talk about his family though. I mean, I can sort of see the situation, but like it was pretty bad.
But you know what? Like his family made me think of Mystic Pizza.
Oh yes.
I mean, like shitty.
Yet another ref.
The brother isn't like the worst person actually, but like, you know how shitty, like young Matt Damon is like the shitty, shitty brother in Mystic Pizza when she goes to his family and like connect, like.
Is it Matt Damon?
It's a baby Matt Damon.
Oh my God. I think so. I mean, I've seen that movie,
but I don't think I made that up. I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. That is an amazing movie.
Oh, such a great movie. Like, but it kind of, I was like, oh, his like shitty, like horrible, like mean family.
Well, they were also like talking trash on Georgia when she was like in the room almost. That was whack. What they were saying, I could sort of get on board with because she is a criminal, although they don't know that.
Right.
But I don't know. It was, for as waspy as they were, I found it hard to believe they wouldn't like make sure she was like, you know, safely
like, aren't
somewhere
they, that's
else.
Like, they're supposed to, yeah, it is Matt Damon. I was like, good. I wasn't crazy.
No, I didn't think you were.
But I thought I was. I thought I was.
Okay.
No, but it's like, yeah, wasps are like better about talking shit.
Not safely.
Getting caught than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Yeah. And then. Like so many characters on the show too. Cause then
that's another thing. Yeah. It's a little too much. Like they have this group of friends. That's like eight people. I can't even remember. There's one girl with like acne who's annoying and I can't remember what her name even is. Like there's just so many people.
And then like Silver, the new girl who like loves Max, the sister who's annoying and maybe on amphetamines. She seems too cool to like Max. I'm like,
you're cool,
Silver. And you're Silver. So you're cool. And then this guy Gil comes into the picture, and that's the little brother's dad who's been in jail.
Yeah, but he's in jail for Georgia's crime.
Yeah,
but he is.
But
he also
was an abuser.
He was also an abuser. Yeah, I was surprised to find that out. I do think that the actor they got to play his younger self was perfect.
Oh yeah,
so
the younger castings are really good. They like the
actually all
up.
Of them are.
Yeah, because Georgia's is really good too. I think that girl
so good. Yeah, that girl's amazing. She even nailed the voice. Like they sound exactly the same. Those two actresses.
I don't like this show is so mystifying.
It's too much. It's too much. I don't know. And then when it ended in the last episode, there's, I mean, I don't want to like spoil it, but I guess, you know, there's a lot of spoilers in this episode. I guess. But I don't know. Like,
where'd she get that wedding dress?
I was wondering that too. Thank you for that. Where did that, what it looked like a Marquesa.
That like, was like, a,
who has money for that?
That
who?
Was like a peak of Marquesa
come utterly
wedding
on.
Dress.
Yes. Yes.
That like Jennifer Lopez would have worn to one of her weddings in like 2003. Like not because it was dated fashion-wise, but just like that kind of era of like Marquesa. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. And like the fact that it was, I mean, I know this is a show and we're supposed to suspend belief to a certain extent, but the fact that Ginny, a child in school, could put off, could pull off like the wedding planning of the century on 0.0 budget, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
At the last minute with that dress, come utterly on. Come utterly
but that's the thing. It's like, are we like going like campy that route where you're just like, oh, this is all fantastical. But then it's like,
I don't think
but it doesn't, because then it hits home with this realness with like the darker side. And then the murders are a whole different part of darkness.
It's too much.
But it's like,
it's like a TV dinner. Like everything's in a separate like little place and nothing comes together.
And it's like the number one show ranking on Netflix, though.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I feel like they can tell us that. We don't know. Like, I always am like,
true.
What are those rankings mean? But I mean, when I see something ranking, I'm more likely to watch it. So
100%. I'm amazed that it's the number one. I'm not surprised it's in like the top three, but the fact that it's number one surprises me.
Yeah. Well, like, I feel like everybody already watched Wednesday. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. They haven't had like a big release. Like, it was like Harry and Meghan.
That's true.
Wednesday.
Might be a slow-ish time. Another thing is the house that Georgia, I guess, rents. Like, that's probably not cheap either. Like, how does she have
like
money for this?
$2 million house.
Right. Like, what?
In, like, a nice Boston suburb?
Yeah, nice Boston suburb. I get the feeling it's supposed to be, like, Wellesley, maybe.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I mean, obviously, it's a fictional town. But, like, I don't understand. Like, there's a lot of finances things that are not adding up. Unless she's stealing money from someone else. And we just don't know.
But yeah, and yet if they do a season three, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll be there with belts on. But it's just it's kind of a slog. Like I watched it pretty quickly, but I was still like, I don't know. I did watch the first one like in a single like weekend.
No, the first one I was really into. Like I was really into it. And this I feel like I would have been doing, I might have been like a little bit more like dicking around on my computer while I'm watching it. Like I wasn't like super focused on it.
I would do other things.
And then every once in a while you're just like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Like,
yeah.
What?
It was wild.
It was wild. You know what I watched last night, part of, before I fell asleep, that Bernie Madoff.
I watched that. Concert. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
That
so I'm on the final episode. I mean, it's, they're just like wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought
also,
that was
there's
really
no
good.
Spoilers. We know what happened. It's just like, I didn't know. So it's like one of those Netflix, like I think it's 4-part, like limited series, docuseries. I thought it was really well done because I am so not a numbers person. Like numbies, hate them. I mean, you have that more like.
I do, but I was never good at it. It was always like, I'd like to thank the Academy. So I'm with you. I was supposed to be here. We all knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you definitely were. But I'm like, at least you knew how to like, maybe
I didn't know. I was in marketing.
Shit. Yeah, that's true.
I was in copy editing and copywriting. And I did not know what I was talking about a lot of the time.
But I felt like it did like I thought it did a good job for me of like explaining what he really did, because
I agree,
like the minutia of it, like the mechanics of it, of like how the scam worked and for so long, because obviously I read story, you know, whatever, but I had never gone like super super deep on it, like of like how he made this happen for like decades.
And it's so weird, like he was such a generous guy in some aspects.
Yeah.
Like they showed that, like, you know, everyone who worked for them, he paid for their honeymoon, and like he got all of his like people jobs and things. And yet he was like perfectly comfortable just like
robbing
Ponzi
people.
Scheming and robbing people, and was, I guess, just planning to do that until the day he died. But he was also shielding his sons from certain information.
Yeah.
what a wild, yeah, just a wild combination.
Really interesting. And like, obviously I knew that he had like a ton of people investing what they thought was investing and they were getting scammed, yeah. but like from yeah. like the Jewish community. And I thought it was yeah. interesting. I would love to hear your perspective, but like how
yeah.
he like prayed
that Jewish.
Yeah. He like, but he used that as yeah. a way to build, well, in this documentary, they like purport that he used that as a way to build trust, especially in like the Palm Beach community where
yeah.
Jewish people, no matter how much money they had been, you know, yeah, like in so many other places, but like in so many other places, yeah. but Palm Beach was like such a waspy place, right? And
totally.
Like old money, whatever. And like not being yeah. allowed into clubs and not, you know, there was one very ritzy club that like, if you were Jewish and you were in Palm Beach, like this is where you went. And he like
yeah,
made it a
sickening.
Whole thing. And like, there are numerous people who are saying like, you know, and you were just like, well, no, Bernie wouldn't screw us over. Like he wouldn't do that yeah. to his own people. And then he was.
Yeah.
So fucked up.
And I wonder, yeah, well, I hate that. I hate that he's yeah. Jewish. I hate that he targeted, I mean, well, he didn't just screw over Jewish people though. He screwed over many, many
no,
Jewish people.
No, he did not. No, he took it anybody's
yeah.
money. Anyway,
Kevin Bacon famously was yeah. like really screwed by yeah. Bernie Madoff, which is awful. It's absolutely disgusting. I found myself wondering like to what extent his wife knew anything. And I right. come up with, I don't think she did know anything, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. They certainly don't make there's not a compelling case in this documentary that she
I mean,
did
I guess we don't
at
know.
All, but like, yeah. and I think that's like probably a lot of people's questions. And I mean, you know, yeah. like in New York, like so many people were affected to different degrees. You know, and that's the gut-wrenching part always about that story is the people who lost fucking everything.
And they interview so many of these yeah. people, and it's just absolutely awful. Like inherited money and money people were planning on like retiring with. And it wasn't like even especially like super, super rich people.
No.
Like a lot of these people were people who worked and just like invested, whatever. It's
oh, that one family where they're like, we thought of this as like our life insurance that was going to care for our special needs like son.
Oh, that was so heartbreaking. That was so heartbreaking.
And it was all gone. And that woman who's like, I was in my 70s. Like, what was I going to do? Like, who's going to hire me
yes,
to like get
yes.
a job? Which is always terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like a single person, you know.
That's burned in my memory that when yeah. I'm saying that.
Oh. But I thought it was really interesting. I was found it super compelling and like well done. And just like the how basically analog the operation
yeah.
kind of was.
Yeah, the dot matrix printer. I kept like racking my brain. They didn't really explain why exactly. I mean, I understand why it was a lot of things were analog, but like why did it have to be a dot matrix printer? I don't know. For some reason that one detail
really
I've been thinking about it for like a week.
Well, because we are old enough to like we know from a dot
yes.
matrix printer and we're
that,
like
maybe that's why. That
like,
thing
why
that took four evs and a day.
Remember?
It took so long. Yes.
Remember
and then, like,
when you
ripping
got
those things.
Ripping the things off. And then you'd rip it and you'd have to reprint it because you ripped the paper. Or remember when Print Shop came out and you could like make
yes.
cards, but it would take
yes.
like 4 gallons of ink and like 42
yes.
days to like print
yes.
a birthday card on the computer. But it was so novel that you were like,
what a time. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, the dot matrix computer and just like that weird, creepy floor. It's almost like Severance. Like,
yes.
It's Severance, but not. It's so
floor.
Weird.
And it's like, being John Malkovich too. Like,
yes. Oh my God.
Floors.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Basically
reference.
He had his whole, like, for, if you haven't watched this, like there was the whole truly legitimate operation. Like his security
and why
firm.
Why wasn't that enough for him? Why couldn't he just have his legitimate operation and call it a day?
That made him like.
Because he had to buy a yacht, I guess? I don't
millions
know.
Millions and millions of dollars from that legitimate operation. And also like fame in the finance industry.
Yeah.
Like
fame.
He,
yeah.
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 But like he had like, it was like, yeah, bro, that seemed like a good deal, but he had, so then it was like two floors
below. But it was
like
a thing with him. Like he got off on like this covert
like sociopath
BS. Like, yeah.
And then, so there was this floor and like, even like the FBI guys or whatever, when they were like, what, after he gets arrested, and then they like have all these employees on the 19th floor. And then they're like, and then they showed us the 17th floor, and it was like,
yeah.
And you see the pictures and it's just like boxes and boxes of like those old brown, like file boxes.
Weird. And this was in like, when was it? It was like in like it was like 2008 when he got caught.
It was like, so right, it was
fairly
like the,
recently.
Yeah. And it was like, and it was interesting to see how he skated it so many times. Like they were almost getting close, and then like 9/11 like changed just the cult, like just it, he got stopped getting looked at in the same way, you know. And then, and they were even saying like, if the 2008 like financial crisis hadn't happened, he'd probably still be doing it.
I'm still thinking about that too. Like he could just very easily, he could have just done it until he died and then just left this like insanity in his wake.
It's crazy. And like, how did he I mean, I guess because he was a monster, like in many ways. But because you're I mean, a Ponzi scheme, you're constantly shuffling the money, right? Like, so he's like the anxiety of that.
Level 10 anxiety. Same. And also that one investor who was like a billionaire who was like kind of in on it and would like give him money when he needed it. Like, I need to know more about that. That guy, he eventually killed himself.
Yeah.
That's a whole fascinating sub story.
Yeah. Cause it would be like, he was almost out and then money would come in. Cause he was basically having to like, when like sometimes people were able to withdraw and then he would kind of try to bully them into not, but then it was constantly like, is there enough in the account to like do the withdrawals and get, and I was like, fuck, my anxiety can barely get through like a day of my own life that has nothing to do with any of that.
There's no way. Just watching that gave me so much anxiety.
Like someone sends like too much punctuation in a text message and I'm going to think about it for like 14 years.
Same. No, that was truly, that was a lot.
Yeah. But it was
good. I watched it.
Yeah. Me too. I felt like smarter about the situation after I watched it.
I feel like the way they broke down how, you know, the industry works, it was sort of like the Big Short. Like they kind of like broke it down really, really simply and easily for people who are not in the industry, and there was no jargon, and they just did a really good job of like setting the scene for someone who doesn't have familiarity with that.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
Yes. There is no Margot Robbie in a bathtub explaining anything to you, but there is that explanation that you can totally understand.
Yes.
Okay. So is there anything else exciting that you're watching?
I'm not watching anything else exciting, I don't think.
But you are listening to something.
So I am listening to something that I know that is one of your topics, and I'm so excited. So I'm listening to Spare by Prince Harry. And I love that, first of all, like no one's using like his real full name either. Like it's just by Prince Harry, which I think is amazing on the book.
Yeah.
Just as an aside. So I'm listening to, I like to listen to celebrity memoirs, which I consider
that
this.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I like to listen to them.
It's 100% a celebrity memoir.
Totally.
And should be treated as such.
And I also, I mean, you know, it's, there are worse things than listening to his silky voice.
He has a fucking fantastic voice. So I don't do well with audiobooks. I hate it.
I usually don't either.
I keep trying. And so I am reading it, but I'm behind. My plan is to read the whole thing this weekend. So I'm only kind of in the beginning, but
it's it feels long. Cause I think the Audible is like 15 hours or something. And I'm listening to it on 1.5 speed.
But his voice is great.
It's just delicious. Divine. So, it's so good.
So tell me, okay, first talk to me about like your relationship to like royals and content of any kind. And then how are you like, what's your take so far, even though you know
that's
you're
a
not
good
done.
Question. Okay. So I'm not like a royals, like pure enthusiast, but I'm into it. And I think, you know, I'm more into Harry and Meghan than like the rest of the royals. And I love Diana too. I love to consume Diana content. I love to consume Harry and Meghan.
Did you
content.
Watch The Crown?
I did watch, I haven't watched every season, but I've watched the last couple seasons and I actually started from the beginning now. I'm watching it, like I figured I would get into it by starting with like what I knew, and I love Diana.
Yeah, totally. That makes a ton of sense. And also I think like after reading Harry's book, it will be interesting to go back into like the early Elizabeth and, you know, like all like the, you know, and obviously it's fictionalized, but there's some there that you can.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, so that's sort of my thing. I'm very interested in them. William, you know, I always thought like William and I are like almost like the same age and, yeah. You know, I always thought he was cute, but somehow like, I don't know. I'm massively uninterested in him. I feel like since he got married.
Yeah.
And Kate is very pretty, but like, yeah, I don't know. For somehow they're not really on my radar. Charles, yeah. I don't really care, but like Haz and Megan and Diana, give me all of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what are your takeaways so far? About how far, like, where are you at?
Where am I? I think I'm about maybe a third of the way through the book. Okay. I think it's, well, it was written apparently by like a very famous ghostwriter and I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but it's like a guy. JP something. I can't
JP
remember.
JP something. And he's done other really good. Now I can't remember. I'm like, I can't remember any of it, but he's like a very well-known guy. So it's really well written. There were a lot of revelations and I know that you're like a student of Haz. I'm not as wrapped up in his life, but it was interesting to find out that, and I don't want to like spoil it for you, but I feel like have you been reading?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you're not going to spoil anything to me. Like, don't worry about it. Like, okay. It's like history. I mean, I would, you know, you're going to get his take on certain things, but like,
totally.
No, don't worry. There's nothing you could spoil.
Okay, good. Okay. I mean, you know, I figure you're a big Haz fan. Okay. Yeah. So he, you know, I didn't know that he didn't believe his mother was dead for a period of like 4 full years.
Yeah.
And you can see why he thought that. And also just like the stark realization that like his family kind of communicated to him that he was like spare parts for William. That blew my mind. I can't stop thinking about that. Like,
yeah, that's early on and
very early,
you know, and obviously like that was like almost like it was like a more real thing in, you know, times when people died like in the 1500s and whatever. And it was like the heir and the spare, but like it's legitimately like built into their family. And it was like, yeah, if he ever needed a blood transfusion or a kidney,
I mean,
like,
when I think of spare, I think of like he's the alternate. I didn't think of him as like additional parts. And just thinking about it that way is so creepy, even though I guess it makes sense on some level. But just like it's
not
really
in
disturbing.
Modern times, though, and especially when the monarchy is like a figurehead. They're not.
Yes.
They don't actually.
There's
rule,
a prime minister. Right.
You know, like it. But as a kid, and he even says like there's told a joke that like my dad, like after I was born, it was like, good, now there's a spare, like my work here is done. And to some extent it was
true, in
but like Charles was taught to be that way, and but to grow up thinking that,
oh, it's like, so disturbing,
even on a
it's
any so kind disturbing. Of level on any kind of level, like,
yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like you're born into a corporation and you're in like a subpar department or something and you're never going to get the promotion. Like, it's kind of
And even he's like the room at Balmoral that they, this giant room that was split into two, and like Willie's was like, so they call each other Willie and Harold. And
yeah,
like,
it's cute.
It's cute. And like his side was just like shittier.
Drab. Yeah.
But I mean, not shittier in a castle, but like, you know, like just not as
get a real problem.
Yeah. I love those little things. Like I was saying in the newsletter, like the little, like the non-salacious stuff, like the just.
Yeah. That I think is the most interesting part about it, actually. Cause the salacious stuff, there is salacious stuff and we all know it. And, you know, they went over some of that even in the documentary with Harry and Meghan on Netflix. But yeah, just these little details. Like, I found that really interesting too, that like his room kind of sucked and Williams was better. And like, I forget exactly when he says it, but like he said that, you know, he's never really hugged his grandmother. Like, no one's really hugged anyone in that family. And like, you know that they're kind of cold and they're kind of different, but like somehow hearing they like never did. And he said that one time Diana tried to hug his grandmother and like she almost like fell over trying to not. I mean, that blew my mind.
Yeah, I always am like, those boys didn't get a lot of hugs, and neither did Charles. You know, like, I mean, like, when you watch The Crown, like,
Charles,
like,
too.
young Queen Elizabeth and Philip, like, go to Australia for 6 months and, like, don't take their kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a lot of trauma.
There's a lot of generational trauma, and I'm, like, not a big Charles fan in many ways because I've obviously, like, I grew up loving Diana and, you know, and she was a complicated person, too, but, like, but with those boys, and then once their mom was gone, who did try to impart like physical affection and like love on them, but they were also
like
sent away to boarding
insane.
School. Yeah. So this
For
crazy
really
lady tried
age.
To hog her kids. God forbid. Yeah. But I'm always like, those boys didn't get hugs. Like,
it's very
Charles
sad.
Fucking tells him his mom is dead and pats him on the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of details like that. And just how early they are even sent to this like boarding school. I think they were like 12 or something, like really young, not like high school, which is even still young to be away from your family.
No, they're elementary school age.
It's upsetting. And another detail that like was just a revelation to me was that like William was already at Eton, the school that they, you know, went to at a very young age for, I guess, like 2 or 3 years. However, I forget what the age difference is between them. And William told Harry, like, don't even talk to me when you're here. Like, I don't know you. Which I guess, like, you know, brothers that's do like, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But, like, extreme for, like, your little brother who's, like, living away from home. I don't know. Like, it's just, like, are you a human being?
I mean, like, I'm sure I did shit like that to my sister in high school. Just like, ugh, don't talk to me at school. But, like, we went
home. But that's, I don't know.
To our parents.
I don't know. There's
you know
something
what I mean?
Different about it.
And also, they're
maybe
so.
Maybe you did it in high school. Like, he was, like,
in high
12.
School. But, like, also, we went home and had, like, a warm family life. Like, you know. And also, we weren't others the way they were always othered. Like, they're princes. Yeah. Like, they're, you know, like.
Yeah.
You would almost.
And Harry was like a Russian nesting doll of others because he was like an other even within his family. Like it was just, I don't know. That was
and
that
was
disturbing
a ginger.
To me. I know he was a ginger. It's hard to be a ginger in England. So that's my.
It is. I mean, they really judge it like real hardcore.
Yeah, they do.
Like it's no joke.
Isn't it like a kick a ginger day or something awful there?
It's like awful, and I'm like, oh,
terrible.
I choose to put more red into my hair. But I do, I mean, I, that's the thing I was like, you know, the more salacious parts of it, like I wanted to read everything like in the context, right? Like of the story. Cause like you can pull out a line. We know how the media works. Like we've been the media. We've not that, not tabloid. We haven't been tabloid, but like we know how it works. And you know, like a clicky headline, not totally clickbait though these are. And it's like, I am like my, and I am team Harry always, but I am like, there's a lot at once, right? With the show and the book and the everything. So I don't know if there could have been a better PR strategy or what.
And I wonder like, if he's trying to blow up his relations with his family utterly. I don't know. I mean, on one level, I'm like, tell us everything. But on the other, I'm like, do you want to have a relationship with these people at all? I don't know.
Because it seems like a hard no, right? And which might be the right thing. Because like, I don't come from a traumatic and dysfunctional family. And I had a friend who was like, you know, there's people who are like, oh, just shut up. And you're so privileged and da-da-da. And I'm like, and so someone was like comparing it to something in their own life and their own family, which I obviously everyone does, right? You relate to things in your own way.
Yeah.
But I was like, but this family is so fucked up that like maybe the right thing to do is to blow it up. Like, I don't know the answer to that.
About that too. I know. And also, I mean, I don't come from, you know, a super trauma filled family. And I respect, like, there are some instances where people like break away utterly from like their parents, a brother, a sister, a toxic family member in general. But, and I respect that. And when it needs to be done, it needs to be done. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I go back and forth about it.
I
have a lot of empathy for him.
I do too. I think when you, none of us can understand like the level of coverage and the level of lies. And like, we don't even see half the things that were coming out. And that's not just since Meghan. I mean, like his whole life, like his whole entire life. And when people are like, but don't you want privacy? It's like, he can never not be uber famous. Like he was world famous when he was in the womb. Like he can't turn that off.
That's true.
And like, I think I understand now people could argue whether he's doing it, how he's doing it. But I think everybody has a right to tell their own story. And if the other people want to tell their stories, go for it. And I don't think he has to sit on like, especially as like Americans, like why would we throw like some morality? Like don't dishonor the monarchy in this way. It's like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, the monarchy is also like, you know, it's up for renewal. You know what I mean? Like, we're still figuring out whether we even need it going forward.
Yeah. And it's like, and I'm a person who's like a royal watcher who like follows it, but I'm not like a monarchist. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's a reason it's always been like the world's longest running soap opera. Like, this isn't,
so
you know,
true.
Like Princess Margaret, like, I bet there's
that
a
was
part
a tragic
of
tale.
Yeah, like I bet there was a part of her at one point who wishes she could tell all her fucking stories.
That's true. You know? It's like that. I'm reminded of that Anne Lamott quote. That Anne Lamott quote. That's like if people wanted to, if you people didn't want you to tell your version of your story about them, they should have acted better or something.
Yeah.
I forget. I'm really garbling that quote. That quote, but it reminds me of that, you know, this is his story, and he, you know, has access to it. And he feels like he wants to share it, he can.
Yeah, I just, I don't, I like, I'm like, I might not, I might end up being like, oh, there was too much in this book. Like, maybe I didn't know, need to know about your frozen dick. I don't know, but I want to read
that.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. But like, here's the thing. Everyone's reading it. It's like sold like over 1.5 million copies already. Like, it's like, even the people who are like, why is he talking so much? I'm like, you be consuming all of this content.
100%.
Like, and, you know, are they corny? Like him and Megan, like pretty corny? Do they come off a little bit? But yeah, in like a harmless way, like some people, you know, are like calling someone my love. I like her too. Like, I like her too. I'm just like, they're a little cheesy. Like, I don't know. They call each other my love all the time. Like, that's a little cheesy, but it's like not a crime. Like, we all have some friends who are like a little cheesy. Like, it's not that, it's not like anything to be like, she should die, you know, like I'm not, no. Like, and she, I went to an event that she was at here.
Oh, really?
I didn't get to meet her, but
I
did
get,
it was like.
That Megan was at?
Yeah, it was like a women's group here in Indy, like a fundraiser.
Oh, cool.
And they had, it was like a seated talk, like her, and they sold all these tables. And I got a friend connected me to someone at Archwell. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually like seated with like the college friends. It was crazy.
Oh my God, fun.
Yeah. Who were lovely. Like, you know, she went to Northwestern. Like, she's really smart.
That's
like,
right.
She's,
yeah,
like,
she's really smart. She's really smart.
Like, so, and she was lovely. And then this woman, Rabbi Sandy Sasso, who's like wonderful. Rabbi Dennis and Rabbi Sandy were many of my friends' rabbis here in town.
Okay.
And Rabbi Sandy does a lot of great work. With like progressive women's groups in Indy and whatever. And so she was like, it was like her and Megan on the stage, like doing a talk.
Oh,
and
cool.
She was wonderful and lovely. And it was,
I love that.
It was great. And you couldn't, no cameras, no filming, like whatever. And it was just like a really lovely conversation. And it wasn't like hard. It was about, she wasn't getting into like her personal story, though obviously there'd be kind of a sides like, but she was like delightful and charming. And I just think you don't have to think she's like the greatest thing in the world. She just doesn't
really
deserve
see what
anything.
All the beef is.
Like
yeah.
what's, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like you don't even have to like her, but the hatred. Is
I agree.
What,
the hatred is
like,
insane.
I can't understand. Like,
there's one thing I don't love. And it's that she didn't she like say that she didn't know who he was before they started dating.
Yeah, she's kind of dialed that back a little bit, but I'm like,
I feel like I haven't heard about it in a long time. That was the one thing that I was like, come, we all know.
No, I mean, come
but
on.
Other than that, I'm like,
I'm
you
with
know,
you on that.
Do
and
you.
Also, yeah, you
do
can be
you.
Like, yeah, like it's like, okay. And also I cannot imagine the level of criticism,
it,
like even if she didn't cross her legs the right way or like whatever. It's
there were
like,
just so many rules.
So insane.
And curtsying your, you know, husband's, your,
well,
your husband's
and even like in the,
just,
yeah, in the documentary when she kind of jokes about it. When she jokes about it, because she was basically like, I was trying so hard and da da. And I'm like, that's what I would have done. And then people were like, oh, you know, of course the British press is like, oh, she was mocking the curtsy. I'm like, no, she was mocking herself, like being like, I'm gonna do the biggest curtsy I could possibly do. And I and the other thing was any one of us with like a big American personality or just like a fucking American personality
and this
walking
is an
actress. Into that, they're like what the fuck do
it
we
feels
do with
like
this?
You're yeah it feels like you're kidding or something to some level, you know, like you can't blame someone for feeling really strange about that. And they're, you know, I'm sure it took time getting used to, even for like Diana,
was raised in nobility,
totally,
and just like Americanness and American like openness. And we are generally, if you like, generally touchier, like we are probably gonna hug more, like
there are cultural differences.
There's a cultural difference, even if it wasn't the royal family. Like, I don't know. It's just so wild. So do you like Kaz so far?
Yeah, I do like Haz. I'm very interested in it. I feel like I read it, you know, within 2 days, I'm like a third of the way through this like ginormous tome. So yeah, I'm very into it. It's just a question of like having time to like take a long walk and listen to more.
Yeah, but totally.
I'm very into it. I like
it. Have you watched any of it? Did you watch like Colbert interview?
I watched a snippet of that. I want to actually watch
it's
the whole
good.
Thing.
Watch
I saw
the
it
whole
on
thing.
Like TikTok.
It's great.
I love both of them.
Because Colbert is so wonderful in many ways. And he's hilarious and smart and wonderful. I love him so much. But also in talking about grief and trauma, he has
so
much. Like
that's true. His story
he lost
so sad.
His story. You know, I am always very interested in grief conversations. And I also think it's great that Prince Harry is so open about his therapy and like going to therapy and learning about himself and not afraid to like talk about his feelings and talk about like processing his grief in a different way and as an adult that he wasn't like allowed to do as a kid. And him and Colbert, and they have some really funny moments too, but they have like Colbert is such a great
I can't wait to watch that.
And he's basically the whole show. So it was really great. I really enjoyed it. And he like pours him a tequila and like it was good.
I will definitely watch that.
Yeah. I haven't watched, like I watched 60 Minutes, but that was like just kind of that was more straightforward. I thought the Colbert was nice because I think you can really see a lot of Harry's personality and his charm.
Yeah.
Because it's like that part in the beginning where it's like, where he's like, I found this quote on bradyquote.com.
Yeah. I saw that in your newsletter. I that's hilarious.
I like flagged the page. I'm like reading the book and like flagging pages like I'm in school. And it was a Faulkner quote. And then he was like, who the fuck is Faulkner? And I was just like, oh, baby, I never loved you for your, not that I think he's an idiot, but he's not an intellectual.
Well, he didn't go to college.
You know, he didn't, you know, but he's very charming and witty and like that British wit and like whatever is all there.
He's not an academic. That's
for sure.
But that's
okay. It's okay.
Not everyone
buddy.
Is.
It's okay. You know?
Yeah. It's not that kind of party for him.
It's not. It's not. I'm so glad you came on to chat with me. This
Thank
has
you
been
so much.
Fun.
Can you
tell everyone where they can find you and about your fabulous newsletter and what it's about and all of that because it's so good.
Thank you so much. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Rouge, R-O-U-G-E underscore 18, like the number 1-8. And then Twitter, I don't know. When are we?
I'm like
Twitter?
There, but like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't, it's becoming more of a trash can fire by the minute, but I am on Twitter. And of course I have a different name on every single thing you can have a name on. So I'm at Glamber, no E, G-L-A-M-B-R. And then I have a Substack that I created in October, 2021. And it's all about the things that I'm buying with my own money as like a, you know, I'm still a beauty writer and I used to do more of that. Now I'd say it's like, you know, maybe 10% of my career. So I wind up having to buy a lot of things myself when I used to get gifted a lot of gratis beauty. And
I miss it. I miss it too.
Yeah. But this letter is all about the things I'm still buying myself. So it's like the things that, you know, make my very, you know, curated edit of like what I deem essential to spend my money on, especially since I am still getting some things for free, but not so. I'm really enjoying it. It's really fun.
It's great. And I buy things from it.
I'm so glad.
One of my favorites is, and I think it might've been in the Substack or maybe you told me specifically, but, the Paula's Choice. Is it like an
2% BHA liquid?
2% BHA liquid.
Iconic.
It's
that is
so
one of
good.
My. I've been buying that for over a decade.
I started buying it because of you and I use it every night and it makes my skin look fantastic and it's not crazy
expensive.
Your skin does look
fantastic. That's a great price point. I think it's like $32 and for me it lasts like almost a year, something crazy. I go through very little.
It's a really great like deal. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff that Amber is giving in her newsletter. I like always, and even if it's like something, I'm like, oh, I'll jot it down or like flag it, like whatever. So I love it. It's really, really great.
Well,
and it's funny
testimony.
Too, because she's funny
that.
And it's fun.
Thank
and you should follow her on Instagram too, because she's very funny.
Thank you and so much. I can't give it up. You know, I had a beauty blog and then I just sort of repurposed it into this. And, you know, this is just the thing I love doing. So I'm going to keep doing it.
It's amazing. Well, you'll have to come back soon when we have a new show or something else to watch and talk about. We always have so much. I could keep you here all day.
I know. I was just thinking like Firefly Lane. I also recently
loved.
But yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Girl, I love that show so much. I love that dumb show. It's like very addictive. It's Oh, we can talk about
that. I want Ginny and Georgia. Yeah. Okay. I want Ginny and Georgia, I think, secretly to be more like that. Like that was why, and I keep feeling like it's supposed to be like that, but it just wasn't. Okay. I'm glad you're on the same page.
It's supposed to scratch that itch.
It does. Which is like kind of like. Kind of did.
Yeah. I feel like it was, that's what I thought I was getting. So like Firefly Lane is the one with Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk. And it's like, they've been friends since they were kids and it goes back and forth on timelines. And it is
that
delicious.
Is the coming, right. That is the coming of age story sort of. Cause it's, it goes through like three different timelines. That's one of them. And I didn't like the second season of that as much as I liked the first, but I still really liked it. And I thought this one, I thought Ginny and Georgia's second season, I would just like more.
Yeah, I wanted to fit my like Firefly Lane, Virgin River, like.
Yeah,
but it's
seen that. I need to see that.
Oh, Virgin River.
Yeah, that, I know Andrea Leventhal likes that too.
I love it. It's like in the Firefly Lane category.
But
there's a quirky town. So there's like a Heart of Dixie. There is that Heart of Dixie, like Gilmore element to it, to the point that Tim Matheson is a crotchety doctor in both Heart of Dixie and Virgin River. But
interesting,
but it's not, but it does it the right, like it is that. It is hitting it in that right way where there's like a lot of characters in the town, but it's not, but it's tonally like it is what it is. Now, are some storylines a little bit like, okay, that's
sure,
like not necessarily.
Opposed to that.
But
a
that,
soapy.
But a little, it's soapy, but like not batshit.
Not like Marlena coming back as the devil from Days of Our Lives.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I'm adding it to my list because that
it
sounds
to your list.
Very
Let
up
me know if
alley.
You start it. Okay. Amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll be right back. Thank you so much to Amber. That was so fun. Can't wait to have her back again soon. Please let us know if you are also watching Ginny and Georgia and would like to discuss further. Because, I mean, there's like a million plot points that we didn't even get to, if you can believe that. Thank you all so much for listening. If you like the podcast, please feel free to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you so desire. It's always very helpful. Or share the podcast with a friend who might like it. You can subscribe to the newsletter for free or not at wehavenotes.substack.com. And also you can follow me at Abby C. Gardner on Instagram or at We Have Notes on Instagram, at Abby Gardner on Twitter, and at We Have Notes on TikTok, where I'm back in my groove, you guys. I'm trying to tell myself to make one piece of content a day. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm having fun with it so far because like, fuck it, you know, but whatever. It's fun. I'm not trying to like be like Gen Z on there. I'm just trying to be me and, you know, see where it goes. So check that out. You can and feel free to make fun of me at any time. I can take it. And I know I'm embarrassing and I don't even care. So again, thanks so much. You guys are the best. Until next week, let me know what types of like bonus content you'd love to see in the newsletter or anything else you'd love to hear talked about on here that you think we might be missing, or if there's any like dream guests. I have a wish list going, so I'd love to hear if you guys have like a dream list, because I'm just gonna go for it in 2023, you know? Why not ask some of these people? Worst they can say is no. So, so that's that. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you soon.